So this for this last session, we have four talks. The first one is Edgar Gasparin from the Instituto Superior Tecnico in Lisbon, and he will talk about staticity and regularity for zero rest mass fields near spatial infinity on flat space times. The floor is yours.
So can you see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So put this in presentation. First of all, thanks for organizing this meeting. Also, like, for overcoming the problems associated to a hybrid format like this. So thank you very much for this. My name is Edgar Gasparin, and I will start with this presentation. So first, let me give the motivation for the problem that we want to study. So we want to study some aspects of the problem at spatial infinity. And just to be on the same page, we are looking at general relativity from the point of view of Penrose's conformal approach. So in this presentation, everything with a tilde will represent the physical quantities. So M tilde G tilde will be the physical spacetime, while MG is the unphysical spacetime, which is conformally related to the physical one. So one of the consequences of this point of view is that one can see that the conformal structure degenerates at spatial infinity. And this was observed way back to the works of Penrose, and more recently in the works of Friedrich, using the conformal Einstein-Field equations. And one of the most prominent consequences of this degeneracy is the potential failure of classical Penrose-Pilling theorem. So the classical Penrose-Pilling theorem tells us that the components of the vial spinner or vial scalars, they decay in powers of 1 over r with some power. And if you assume that scry is smooth. However, if you look at this problem from the point of view of initial data using the conformal Einstein-Field equations close to spatial infinity, it was observed by Friedrich and then retaken by Valiente Cron and collaborators that this implies a polyhomogeneous expansion for the rescale vial, for the vials, components of the vial spinner. So this is one of the most important, I'd say, consequences of this degeneracy. And an important feature is that the existence of these logarithms can be controlled at the level of initial data by a regularity condition. And this is the type of problem that we want to look at. And there's an open problem in this setup, is that it is known that if you have static initial data, then you will have an expansion will be log-free. So you will have smooth null infinity. But the converse is still not true. It's not known. It's not known if you have an expansion without these logs, then you necessarily have static initial data. So this is a conjecture that if you don't have these logs, then namely if you this logarithmic condition is satisfied, then automatically you should be in the case of a static data. So this is a conjecture, and this is something that we want to start making inroads into. So we're not going to look at the full conformal Einstein-Field equations. That's a more challenging problem, but we're going to try to analyze this gap between this regularity of these regularity conditions and the staticity of the fields in a toy model, which is the spin two equation. So since this is a toy model, let me just motivate why to look at this toy model. So you can think of the spin two field as a way of looking to linearized gravity. And this goes back to Penrose. So if you look at linearized gravity in the following way, so say that you perturb the metric, the Minkowski metric, by a small perturbation, this gamma, and this kappa is a bookkeeping device for the linearization. So the Riemann curvature looks like this anti-symmetrized derivative of the perturbation. And from this point, you can take two directions. One is the standard one, where you say, okay, Ricci is equal to zero, or something, or the, your energy momentum tensor, and then you say, okay, from this I can read this as a second derivatives for the metric, second order equation for the metric. perturbation, or you can take the curvature approach in which you say, okay, Ricci is equal to zero, therefore this tensor has the symmetries of Weyl, and therefore I can use the Bianchi identities to obtain an equation for the curvature. So in the curvature approach, linearized gravity is just the spin to field equation, which is this one. And this has an advantage. One of them is that it's conformally invariant. And as I was saying, you can play this game not only in the linear case, but also non-linearly. And that's why these equations are a model equation for the full conformal Angerfield equations of Friedrich, where the central variable is the rescaled Weyl tensor. So that's the reason for the choice of this toy model. I want to say what is the background in which we study this toy model. Probably the cylinder at spatial infinity needs no further introduction after the talks of Mariam and Marika. But nevertheless, let me just summarize very briefly what this cylinder at spatial infinity is, at least in the case of Minkowski. So this is a representation of a conformal representation of Minkowski in which this region, spatial infinity, is blown up to a cylinder, is not longer a point. And you have the location of the conformal boundary scribe plus and scribe minus at tau equal plus minus one in these on physical coordinates, tau and rho. And so there are these critical sets where the cylinder at spatial infinity touches future and past null infinity. And it has been observed that the equations develop, I mean, the solutions to the equations develop some logarithmic terms precisely coming from these critical sets. And in particular, for the spin 2 case, for this toy model in 2002, Valente Kron studied this toy model and found the explicit solution mimicking what happens in the nonlinear case. And something very similar happens. So you find some logarithmic terms coming from these critical sets, capital I plus and capital I minus. And there's an analogous regularity condition that allows you to get rid of these logs at the level of initial data. And the regularity condition is that taking certain derivatives of the linearized Bach tensor at spatial infinity has to vanish. So you take the trace-free part of so many derivatives of the Bach tensor, and you evaluate that at initial hypersurface at I naught. And I say how many derivatives because these logarithms come from the highest harmonic in a harmonic expansion. So you take as many derivatives as how many logs you can want to get rid of depending on this the highest harmonic for a given order. Anyway, so this is the general idea. So this mimic what happens in the full nonlinear case. And what we want to answer now is to say, okay, now that we know this regularity condition, how can we, if we can relate this to the a staticity condition. So how do we derive a staticity condition? So we start with the physical space-time. And in the physical space-time, well, we have the physical spin to field, which satisfies is this equation. And in the physical space-time, Minkowski, we know that there's the time-like Killing vector, partial t tilde. And so we can define an ad hoc a staticity field, which is just the lead derivative of phi tilde along psi tilde. So our notion of staticity is that phi tilde is static if and only if z tilde is zero. And so this is a space-time condition. We want to encode this at the level of initial data. And well, it turns out that this field z tilde also satisfies the spin to equation on the physical manifold. And since the spin to equation implies a symmetric hyperbolic system of equations, then you can use existence and uniqueness to show that this quantity propagates. That is to say that if z tilde, the staticity field, vanishes on the initial hypersurface, then it will vanish on the domain of dependence of the data. So, okay, so that's our statistic condition given at the level of initial data, but this is given in terms of the physical setup. So now if we want to make contact with the regularity condition, which is given in the physical setup, we have to translate this statistic condition now to the unphysical setup. So how to do this? Well, first, recall that in the unphysical picture, where we have the unphysical metric, which is conformally scaling of the physical one, the spin to field transforms in this way homogeneously. And as I said before, the spin to equation is conformally invariant. So we have this equation for the unphysical spin to field. Now, the Killing vector in the physical space then will be transformed into a conformal Killing vector now from the point of view of the unphysical manifold. So so here in this box, I'm just writing the conformal Killing vector equation. And as a remark, the particular expression of this conformal Killing vector field in the case of Minkowski in these tau rho coordinates is given by this expression. So anyway, so now with these pieces, we can now define an unphysical staticity field, which is just this rescaling of the physical staticity field. And okay, so now we can, to make contact with most of the literature for the cylinder at spatial infinity, we can do this with spinors. And well, the spinorial translation of this quantity set is given by this expression here. So you have the conformal factor, then a derivative of the spin to field in the direction of psi, the conformal Killing vector, plus this other term. So this is essentially a transcription of the Lie derivative.
You have 3 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so with this expression, now we want to evaluate this at the initial hypersurface and get something that is intrinsic. The problem with that is that we have tau derivatives of the field, which we want to get rid of because we want something really intrinsic with all derivatives transverse to the initial tangent to the initial hypersurface. So we can get rid of the tau derivatives by making a 1+3 split. The tau derivatives for phi are we take those derivatives from the spin to field equation, and the tau derivatives for psi they are taken from the conformal Killing vector equation. And at the end, the solution, well, what you get is that this staticity field just coincides with the linearized Bach tensor. So from that spinor, sorry. So from that, you can get the following result. And the main result is that for this spin to field, the staticity condition is equivalent to say that the Bach linearized Bach tensor vanishes. And two direct corollaries is that if you have a static initial data for the spin to field with a solution that extends analytically to the critical sets, namely null logs, that static initial data implies regularity. This is this first corollary. And the second corollary is just comparing this result with the regularity condition, just to say that if you have a solution that satisfies the regularity condition, that doesn't mean that necessarily your field is going to be static. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your talk. Are there questions? So we have one question here.
I have rather a remark. So as I understood, this was in linearized setup, what you have. I would like to call your attention at the beginning of 2000, around 2000, I published two papers. One of them is really general. There is a setup by Geroch, you know, where you put all the physical equations into first order form for the metafields, and when it is coupled to gravity, you can have the same sort of hyperbolic, first of the hyperbolic system for the symmetries. And if you have, you know, something encoded into the inertial data, you can have, even for this generic setup, this. So there is a huge, you know, playground for you now to carry on with this nice results. I appreciated the
Thanks. So you said by Gerhoch and you, I'll check that out.
No, I used the formalism by Gerhoch, you know, about generic first order formulations and, you know, coupled to gravity and you may look it up.
Thank you.
Send me an email and then...
Thank you.
Okay. Are there other questions here? Are there other questions online? No? Well, then let's thank the speaker again.